The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The April 17th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of April 17th, 2024. Story time for Shelter Sweeties. Sale of historic Rosario Resort is finalized. Upgrades are planned. Derelict vessels, deconstruction of a dream. Sailors come together on Lopez. Plus, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. First, this, from the Islands Sounder, Story Time for Shelter Sweeties. Orcas Teen organizes Tales to Tales as her senior project by Colleen Smith Summers. When Ava Berge was a little girl, she'd choose a beloved book and read to dogs or cats through a Santa Cruz Public Library program. "I really enjoyed it. It helped me get more interested in reading," said Berge, who has special needs and is a senior at Orcas Island High School. After moving to Orcas several years ago, Berge felt inspired to start a similar offering. As part of her senior project, she and her mom, Christine Jennifer, approached the Orcas Animal Shelter about organizing Tales to Tales. From April to May, kids can come to the shelter on Friday and Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. to cuddle with animals while reading their chosen printed material, either out loud or silently. Parents must be present. "I hope kids will feel more comfortable around animals, and the program will help them improve their reading. Help make reading fun," said Berge, whose favorite book series are Harry Potter, Hunger Games, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The first Tales to Tales was on April 6th, and three eager readers signed up for the afternoon. The shelter currently has one dog and a handful of cats. For those interested, call 360-376-6777 or sign up in person at the shelter, which is open Tuesday to Saturday. Participants can choose a prize, and those who complete three reading sessions win free soft-serve ice cream from Conn's Pit Stop. Animals are frequently brought in to help young learners foster literacy skills and gain confidence because pets are non-judgmental and provide quiet comfort. "Being around animals helps me feel safe and relaxed," said Berge, who has been volunteering at shelters since she was 9. She and her mom adopted Sparky, an abandoned senior Bichon Terrier mix 9 years old. "He's still with us, 19 years old now, and he gets along great with the 8-year-old Bichon pup named Princessa that we just recently adopted from the Orcas Animal Shelter," Jennifer said. In creating her senior project, Berge has gained a new confidence. "I learned that I'm brave, and I can talk to people I don't know and ask for support," she said. Sale of historic Rosario Resort is finalized. Upgrades are planned. By Colleen Smith Summers. The sale of the historic Rosario Resort was finalized on April 8th, after the transition to an unknown buyer was announced in mid-February. Rosario on Orcas Island is on a transformative journey as Empower Investing, a Washington company founded by local Orcas Island residents, becomes the new steward of the iconic property, with the first of several purchases closing on April 8th, according to a statement released by the realty company The Gudgel Group. Per the company's website, Christopher Robeson is the owner of Empower Investing. Continued the statement, "Empower will begin immediate operations of lodging, the marina, weddings, and the event center with new reservations open and being accepted now. Empower is focused on plans to add many other amenities to the property and will announce them as they are ready." Empower was represented by Kevin Ranker, a partner in the Gudgel Group who skillfully assisted to navigate the details of this complex sale. "This marks a new chapter for both the historic estate and the picturesque Orcas Island it calls home. As a beloved landmark with roots deeply embedded in the Orcas Island community, the Rosario Estate holds sentimental value for many people, both tourists and residents alike. As the torch of stewardship to this property passes from one to another, we must recognize the past 16 years of stewardship and operations by the Bartow family, and express gratitude for the many wonderful accomplishments they completed to the property during their time of stewardship. Empower is committed to continuing this legacy of preservation and improvement to this rich piece of history on Orcas Island, where many people will come to the property and connect and create stories and memories. The Bartow family listed the resort in March 2023 for $15 million plus $2.5 million for water rights. The estate is centered around the 116-year-old Rosario Mansion, built by shipbuilder Robert Moran. The property officially opened as a resort on April 1, 1960, and has undergone several expansions. The resort is listed on the Historic National Register. In 2007, the San Juan County Council approved Rosario Resort's master plan for future development. It can be viewed at sanjuancountywa.gov. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, Derelict Vessels, Deconstruction of a Dream. The masts clanged slightly on the handful of boats docked and waiting for deconstruction. It was clear from the moss and lichen covering the windows and cabin that these vessels had not been at sea in a long time. A mixed crowd, from Marine Resource Committee members to Port of Friday Harbor staff, Department of Natural Resources, and other interested parties, gathered on April 4th to look at the derelict vessel project firsthand. It saves the state more money to remove them before they become derelict or abandoned. If a boat sinks or runs aground, it is going to cost the state two or three times more. So the program started up, and it has been a good success. Tammy Robbins, Department of Natural Resources Vessel Turn-In Coordinator, explained. These boats are voluntarily turned in by the owners, and the state takes care of the rest. We had a $200,000 biennium budget when we first started, and that didn't last very long. The following year, the budget increased, and the program was able to grow, taking even more boats out of the water. There have been three coordinated events in the state. San Juan County's was the third and by far the most successful. DNR partnered with the county, the MRC, and the Port of Friday Harbor for the turn-in event. The Port of Friday Harbor capped the number at 15, unsure of the response. Not only was that cap reached, but more are waiting to be turned in. The boats came from all over the county. Carrie Koski, San Juan County Environmental Stewardship Department's derelict vessel coordinator, said, "Owners removed personal items. The boats were brought in on slings, and before they were taken apart, barnacles, mussels, and other sea creatures are scraped off and hazardous materials were removed. Hazardous materials include batteries, fire extinguishers, black water, and fuel. Owning a boat is a romantic idea, and thoughts of sailing the world or at least along the coast may run through a buyer's mind. Entering boat races could also be a dream. Then life happens. Perhaps health issues, work demands, or the owner passes away and the heirs have no interest. The boat stays put in its slot at the marina year after year, slowly falling apart. Eventually, it is no longer feasible for the owner to repair the boat. Depending on the vessel's condition, it becomes considered either abandoned or derelict. Hence, the turn-in program originated. Filling in paperwork or transportation can still be barriers. DNR handles the situation with two programs, according to Robbins. One is the derelict vessel side that goes after boats that are in trouble, those that have run aground or are sinking. In this situation, the owner is on the hook financially. The other is the voluntary turn-in. Should an owner opt to hand over their vessel, the state pays for deconstruction. When asked if owners have a difficult time letting go, Robbins responded that some are relieved, while others do struggle. We had a call last year from a gentleman who was really torn up about having to have his boat destroyed. After talking to him for a while, I found out the boat was famous. He took it across the Atlantic from New York to England with 4 people. It took 72 days, I think, to do it, so it's a part of history, Robbins said. In fact, it had been in a museum until they could no longer keep it. The man was very passionate about the vessel, named after his father, according to Robbins. To give the boat a proper send-off, he gave it 1 last water journey, from Tacoma to Port Townsend. In Port Townsend, the boat was used to kick off the race up to Alaska. There was a big turnout event afterward, and he had a funeral for his boat. It was very touching, she said. We have just seen the tip of the iceberg of what's really out there. I mean, we have over 300 boats on our vessels of concern list. We thought with extra funding that we've gotten for the legislature, we would be able to go out and clean up a lot of that, but we have had so many big ships come in this past year. One ship can cost $3 million. Although the public event is closed, anyone who would like to turn in their boat may learn more and fill out an application at dnr.wa.gov/programs-and-services/aquatics/derelict-vessels/vessel-turn-program. To qualify, owners must be a Washington State resident, provide an affidavit stating they do not have the funds to dispose of it, and must be able to provide proof of ownership. Since Koski has taken her position, she has worked to reach out to owners of vessels of concern in the county. We have been trying to remedy some problems, and trying to take the barriers away that have been the stumbling block for a few people, whether that was being elderly or having health issues or simply being overwhelmed with paperwork, said Koski, adding that occasionally meant meeting them at the ferry landing to get the title paperwork, having that paperwork notarized, and taking photos of the application. Boats, for boaters, are very hard to get rid of because they represent that dream, Adam Parrott, assistant harbor master at the Port of Friday Harbor, said. For that reason and others, the term deconstructed is used rather than demolished. As the crowd walked around a boat in the deconstructed process on April 4th, the back of the boat was torn, exposing fiberglass and other debris. What is striking about this is imagine this at the bottom of the sea, Robbins said. To see this and imagine all those vessels you hear about people sinking, it's really important to get this stuff out of the system. And speaking of boats, from the Islands Weekly, sailors come together on Lopez. The WWU Islands Cup 2024 sailing team race at Lopez Islander Resort and Marina on March 30th and 31st set records, with 70 collegiates and alumni sailing from WWU and UW in 18 FJs and V15 dinghies and achieving a full rotation of 45 race combinations for the 10 teams. Sailors arrived early on Friday to clean up the beach and to make repairs on the fleet of Lopez Island and Sail Orcas sailing dinghies. Sailors were rewarded with perfect weather conditions all weekend and local food, including Mud Bay butter clam chowder, grass-fed Lopez beef stew, and sweet, tender, late-winter island kale. Alumni team Willamites were perfect, winning all 9 matches. The top undergraduate team was Salad Bow Fanatics from the University of Washington with 7 wins and 2 losses. Thanks to the Islander Resort for sponsoring this event that supports local youth sailing, environmental stewardship of our bay, and memorializing sailor Charles Diller. And now, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On April 3rd, a deputy on San Juan took a report of the theft of a Pride Foundation sign from a yard. Currently, there is no suspect information or workable leads. A Friday Harbor business reported someone broke in and slept inside the business. No damage was done to the entry, and nothing was stolen. An investigation is underway. On April 4th, a deputy stopped the driver of a vehicle on San Juan and issued the driver a citation for having a child under 13 years old in the front passenger seat. I'm going to tell my kids all about that. One driver on San Juan received several citations after he nearly hit a deputy head-on on a corner. The driver, who stated he knew he almost hit the deputy, didn't stop and also admitted to being on his cell phone at the time of the incident. On April 6th, a deputy responded to a report of a runaway juvenile in the Friday Harbor area. The deputy located the juvenile but was informed the parent no longer wished to pursue the issue. The parent just didn't care any longer, or what? A deputy on San Juan heard what sounded like a vehicle doing donuts near the area of the fairgrounds. Once the deputy arrived on the scene, the vehicle was gone, but the deputy observed significant damage to the grass. On April 9th, 10 drivers on San Juan were issued citations for failure to wear a seatbelt. Let this be a reminder to everyone in the San Juan Islands to buckle up, please. And with that safety announcement, this concludes the April 17th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this spring with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith-Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks again for tuning in to the Island Digest. We here at the Island Digest hope you come back next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.